Welcome back to another Five Tip Friday episode. If you listened to Tuesday's episode, you know that I felt the need to defend the term and the concept of fake it till you make it. And so I wanted to come to you today and give you a little more context into where and how you can use this methodology and how I used it. So instead of five tips, I'm going to give you five situations where it is valuable to fake it until you make it. Hello and welcome to another episode of the From Devastated to Divorced podcast. I'm Josie, your host and a separation survival specialist. Through my unique five chapters of surviving a separation methodology, I guide women who are grappling with the challenges of an unwanted separation. Together, we navigate the path from feeling devastated to confidently stepping into divorce. And today, I'm going to talk about five situations where it's okay to fake it till you make it. Number one, at work. Presenting a confident and composed demeanor at work, even when you're feeling emotionally overwhelmed by your unwanted separation. You have to keep your job. You need the money. You can't be calling in. You can't be showing up and not performing. Suppose that you are forward-facing, like customers are coming in and you have to greet them all day long. They need to see you happy. They need to see you smiling. They need to see you approachable. This is a situation where you have to pretend that you're okay. It's not easy, but knowing this is a role that I'm playing, I'm pretending. I can do this. I can do this for a few hours. I can do this for a few hours for the next few months. How about number two, social gatherings? You have to put on a brave face and engage in social interactions, even when you're feeling lonely or disconnected from everyone. Yes, you can avoid going out as much as possible, but there are situations where you have to. You have to be around people. And they are people that are not maybe your closest friends, so they don't need to know your business. So you can pretend that you are okay. You have to know, I have to do this. I'm walking into this. I have to go to this event, and I'm going to pretend that I am fine. I'm going to fake it for the 3 hours that I have to be here, and then I can go home and release and let it go. Number three, parenting. Maintaining a sense of stability and normalcy. I know I'm saying that wrong. For your children, even when you're struggling with your own emotions and uncertainties about the future. I think this is a big one. I did not want my son to see me crying and struggling as much as I did. And let me be honest, he saw a lot, but he could have seen more. I tried to fake it for him a lot. I needed to do this for him a lot. I did not want him to see me as bad as I was, because it wasn't going to help him and it wasn't going to change the situation. It was probably, he was young, he was 8 years old, and there was just no need for him to have to take on all of the heaviness that I felt. So I had to fake it for him. I had to fake how I felt around him. I had to pretend to watch cartoons and laugh with him. I had to try and do positive, fun things with him. But it was super hard. But it was a necessity. Number four, household responsibilities. Keeping up with the household chores and responsibilities, even when you're feeling exhausted and overwhelmed by your emotions, is important. I mean, you know how quickly depression and sadness can turn a place into a mess. It is important to push through it. I don't feel like cleaning, but I'm gonna fake it until I do feel like cleaning. And spoiler, I still don't feel like cleaning. I absolutely hate to clean, so I'm still faking it to this day. But that's another example of a situation where you could choose to do nothing. You can just lay around and do nothing, but you can't. And if nothing else motivates you, then you use the fake it till you make it. Fake wanting to clean. But do it, because faking it is still having you do it. That's the way that I would see things. That's the way that I would use this term. And that's the way I want you to use this term. I don't want you to see it as a negative. I want you to see it as the thing that propels you to do what you don't really want to do, but need to do, because you have to keep living. And lastly, number five, at school. And I add number five because I started going to school because I didn't have any money. I didn't have the job of number one to worry about. I was a stay-at-home mom, but I had to figure out a way to get some money. So I went back to school to take some courses. It was actually an accounting course, which is funny because even though I love numbers and I love budgeting, I ended up not doing that. But anyway, I went and I jumped into that as soon as I knew that my relationship was not going to make it, which means it was within the first 3 months of dealing with my separation. And I would have to go into the bathroom, cry, clean myself up, fake it back in the room, listen to the teacher teaching whatever, suck it up until I could leave and go to the bathroom again and cry some more. This is how I was feeling at that time. It was a disaster. I was crying on the daily, on the hour. But I had to get some education. And I couldn't wait until I felt better, because who knows when that would be. It could be years later. I didn't know how long it was going to take me. So I couldn't let that hold me back. So when I would go to school, when I would get into class, I would fake being okay so I could get through the course. And I would take minutes, step away, release, come back, fake it again. And I did, until, you know what? I made it. How long did it take? A couple years to finally be 100% okay. But I made it, and I don't have to be fake about it anymore. I made it through, and I'm proud of that. And I am proud that I had the opportunity and the tool of faking it until I could make it. So I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but I absolutely think that it's okay in this phase of your life, in this circumstance, to fake it as much as you need to. Who's going to judge you? And who cares? You need to survive. And if faking it is going to make you survive, then you know what? Hallelujah. Go for it. I give you permission, and I give you permission by a person who can give her stamp of approval on this method. It worked for me, and I believe that it can work for you. So, have I said fake it till you make it enough? I'm just going to throw it in there one last time, but I hope that you found these tips, situations, suggestions on how to use this methodology useful. I appreciate you listening. And of course, before we go, I do want to remind you that I do have a course that is now available, and it's where you can embark on your own transformative journey so that you can stop having to fake it. You can just work through the process of making it to the other side and navigate this life post-separation. It's not just another course. It's a pivotal roadmap using my 5 chapters to surviving a separation methodology with a blend of insights and strategies, personal reflections, and actionable steps. You'll discover how to reclaim your sense of self, build resilience, and open new doors to happiness and fulfillment. So if you don't want to miss the opportunity to turn the page and write the new chapter of your life, the link is in the show notes with all the details. Again, thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you on the next one. Bye for now. Thanks again for listening. And if you found value in today's episode, I would really appreciate it if you could go take a moment and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're streaming from. It would really help to get the word out and help us build this community. And as we wrap up today's Heart to Heart, I hope you find healing, feel your strength grow, and embrace your journey forward.